everyone, welcome back to the Pot Stickers and Punsy podcast, a podcast where three Asian Americans discuss their thoughts on anything and everything. In today's episode, we will discuss our thoughts on the recent rise in Asian hate crimes. I'm Janelle, and as always, I have the two pot stickers, Teresa and Caitlin.
Hello!
Hi guys!
So, although we have been keeping up with the current news about this, and we have done a little research of our own just to make sure that we have the facts right, please keep in mind that this episode is meant to be largely a discussion of our own thoughts on the recent happenings. So just as background, according to NBC News, Asian hate crimes in 2020 rose by about 150%. A separate study revealed that the use of the terms China virus language referred to the coronavirus, particularly by the GOP officials and conservative outlets, have already resulted in a shift in how many people in the U.S. perceive Asian Americans. So why is this happening? From PBS, Zia says that part of the problem is the invisibility of Asian American communities and the lack of understanding of the racism that they have faced. So it's part of systemic racism, of depriving all Americans, including Asian Americans, of our own history. So she calls it missing in history. Through our research, we've just found out more about the model minority myth, which claims that a minority demographic, such as Asian Americans, are perceived to have greater level of socioeconomic success, especially in contrast to other minority groups. And then this comparison is especially harmful when comparing, for example, Asians with Black African Americans, etc., etc. So some modern day problems of the model minority myth in terms of Black Americans and Asian Americans is that Black failure and Asian success cannot be measured by inequities and pits racial groups against each other. It minimizes the role of racism in other racial groups and diminishes racism towards Asians because they have so-called proved themselves. So just any general thoughts from the pot stickers about this so far?
I think, like, on top of, like, pitting Asian Americans against Black Americans, it pits Asian Americans against each other as well, especially because I think the model minority tends to only refer to, like, East Asians and not other Asian Americans, like Southeast Asians, for example.
That's true, yeah, because even among Asians, there will be, like, I got this from a comedy stand-up, so this is not the best terminology.
Go for it.
Yes,
but
go ahead.
It's like the successful, like, rich Asians, which are, like, relatively the East Asians, the Chinese and the Japanese, who, like, do fun stuff and they host the Olympics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's the jungle dirty Asians, which is Vietnam and the Philippines and stuff like that. The jungle. So it's like they're the even superior in Asians that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why is this happening? Anything from Caitlin?
No, I was just agreeing with Teresa, because I remember reading somewhere and they're talking about how that, yes, since model minority, people tend to think of, like East Asians only when they hear the word Asian, but people from, like, Malaysia and stuff are being threatened to be deported back to the U.S. This was a problem happening earlier in the year.
Yes.
And, like, no one was, like, speaking out against it or really bringing any attention to it because they aren't considered part of... Well, I don't know. It's just it wasn't as loud because no one was, like, looking at them, I guess. How do I phrase this?
Yeah, I feel like it's, I think, like, in short terms, like, being model minority is basically, like, a non-white group being as close to white as possible.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're part of the model minority, you're basically white, but just not actually white.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, because of that, then it's like, this is probably... Or, like, this is might be why they mm-hmm. tend to like brush other stuff like that more mm-hmm. under the rug. Because it's like, oh, you already have all of these, like, what's the word? Like privileges?
Yeah, mm-hmm. privileges.
Yeah, so then it's like that other stuff that happened to you doesn't matter as much compared to other people, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I guess.
I agree. Yeah, and it's just very harmful because that's how the news doesn't pick it up mm-hmm. as much as you were saying, Kate. And also, one thing that has become a problem with raising awareness of the hate crimes, I think, is that proponents and allies of BLM and, like, people bringing up the Asian hate crimes will then tend to fight each other because it will be, like, one is better, or it's, like, ours is more important because this has been happening for years, or it's, like, this one is more important because it's happening right now. So there's a lot of tension between these two minority groups. Mm-hmm. And that also kind of comes in terms of the Asian community. There's a lot of anti-blackness in it. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. that's stemmed from, like, long...
That's a big, like, historical thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But ironically, there's been lots of moments of Black and Asian solidarity in history. Mm-hmm. So, but then it always regresses in times like this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's like, it seems almost like it's like a competition, almost. Mm-hmm. Where it's like they're comparing... Their
oppression.
Oppression. Yeah, and like, obviously, I would say that I think this is like something that like everybody's been saying though, right? Where mm-hmm. it's like Asian Americans do face like oppression, discrimination, but like not to the same degree as mm-hmm. Black Americans have.
Yeah, it's all very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is obviously still oppression, but yeah. it cannot mm-hmm. be compared or contrasted.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
I think they use that, like, comparison as a way to point away from the bigger issues at mm-hmm. hand, which is the system.
Systemic racism. Yes. Because then it's like, oh, just look at us.
Yeah, it's...
And it's like, yes, you are important, mm-hmm. But it is also part of, like, the larger problem yeah. as well.
It's like controlling the minority groups in a way that keeps them from getting to the top.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because the real enemy is white supremacy and the system.
This is true. Dun, dun, I think dun. So.
They're a happy marriage together, like in that TikTok video where they're like,
"What was that?" I'm sorry. That scared me.
Shot my phone.
Caitlin got super excited. She's moving her arms around to describe this.
I understand the TikTok you're talking about, but yeah, that's so funny. That also scared
it's
me.
Like, I'm so sorry.
It's like a divide and conquer strategy. Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, even though you guys all could work together to fix this, mm-hmm. you will not. So we will keep you separated.
We're gonna create some infighting between everyone. Mm-hmm. And guess what is gonna keep us at the top? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder why that is though. Is it just like how come we can't get along? Is it just like a bunch of misunderstandings? Mm-hmm. Or is it I don't know.
I think a lot of it still is with the model minority because they're like, look, at least someone made it. Why can't you make it? Get your stuff together and make it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is because true. From what I've researched on the model minority, it was like coming up mostly during the civil rights mm-hmm, movement mm-hmm. where Black Americans were like, hey, we deserve rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. But at the same time, I believe it was Japanese Americans. And then the news would try to amplify the success of Japanese Americans in order to drown out what was happening with the civil rights movement.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
So that I believe that is kind of where it started. So yeah, then it just created a hostility and they were like, hey, why are they like getting all this attention? Like, obviously, not like Asians like did it. It's kind of like the rest of society like pushed them up to make the civil rights movement go away. But
because
in a way, Asians almost perpetuate it themselves without knowing it. I don't know how to describe what
I'm saying. I feel like it's because like since we weren't like at that time we weren't like as outspoken about like us being oppressed. Again, not like comparing at all, but just like we weren't, because I feel like that's just not a very like Asian sentiment to be like, this is wrong, like against us. So then they just conform to like the American culture, and then because of that, when like Black Americans were like, no, we want our rights, like this is wrong, then the white people were like, well, the Asians didn't do that and they're fine, so why can't you do that? Or like possibly other Asian Americans are also like that, and they're like, why are you trying to do this when you could just conform like us? So maybe that's why. I don't know.
This reminds me of, this is like a group though, but in sociology, I think our professor was talking about how this happened to the Irish Americans, because back then a lot of people did not like the Irish, and then they started conforming to like societal norms and like being really just trying to assimilate extra hard, and then they've been pushed to the top. Or I guess blended in, not to the top, but you know what I mean.
Like even though they were white, it was like they were still like considered like foreigners and outsiders until they're like, let's just conform.
One thing Teresa said like about like how they're like, oh, we're not gonna bring up our oppression, that was a big topic when these hate crimes were being portrayed and brought up, that like, because we know that the attacks were mostly on Asian elders, and Asian elders aren't gonna speak up that this is something wrong, so that's why like a lot of young activists on social media were like, we need to bring this up because our, I was gonna say ancestors, our elders think it's not their place to bring up oppression, but literally it's, you need to bring this up. So that's a cultural thing too. Maybe that is from the model minority, and they're like, we can't talk about being oppressed because we're not oppressed, and we're like, you are still, just different, but you are oppressed. But then so many things,
it's so like tangled up. It's like, oh, you kind you find one part and it's like, nope, there's another section that you have to untangle. It's very,
I can see how it's like a culture thing too, because East Asians tend to be more collectivist society, so they aren't going to bring up an issue if it means having problems or instigating something.
And then even like if you talk about on the other hand, like over the summer when you talk about, I'm trying to go back to like anti-blackness again, I'm looking my brain, I'm so sorry. But like when you talk about BLM, sometimes they'll be like, but we're also oppressed, so then like they go to back to the opposite, like sometimes they'll be like, we're not that oppressed, and we don't want to talk about it. But then they'll be like, but we are oppressed. Why are they fighting for it? And I'll be like, because we're all oppressed. You know? The society.
The system. Society.
The system.
And just trying to get my mom to agree. And be like, it's the system, Mom. Can't you see?
That that is true. Because I feel like my friend, sometimes she talks about how she has, like, she has discussions with her, like, dad or, like, parents about, like, political stuff that's happening right now. Or, like, this type of stuff, like BLM. And they, like, they don't see it the same way that we do. Or they don't see it as, like, as big of a problem or, like, as a systemic problem, I think.
They're like, oh, it's just, or they'll bring up examples where it's like, but this person, like, it wasn't like this for them. But I was like, but still, it's still like a large enough problem that it should definitely go beyond, like these people.
Also, since like the system doesn't really have faces technically, like a singular face that you can yell at. It's kind of like a whole interaction between a bunch of different areas of government. So you can't, you gotta like attack everything and not There isn't just one easy target to say one and done.
It's like, this sounds kind of conspiracy theory, but it's like brainwashing.
Whoa!
Right? Like, if the system is made that way, the system works because we all, like, subscribe to the system. Because the system has taught us that that's what's correct. So, I don't know.
That's wild. Sorry, I didn't mean to say. My flat voice.
That's wild.
So, yeah, I'm just going to just go into a few questions just generally about what we've talked about so far. So since all of these events have been going on, you know, throughout the summer and recently in the winter, how do you feel like when you're going outside? Do you need to feel like you need extra protection when you walk outside, etc.?
Caitlin?
I feel like it's really hard for us, especially because we're Asian and we're also women. So we have to be worried about someone coming up to us at night and mugging us or raping us or selling us into the illegal human trade trafficking. And so I was already carrying around pepper spray, so I feel like I need to up my ante a little bit and get one of those, like, little mini tasers or something. Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
I kind of want one because I feel like it'd be very effective.
I know people who have it. And then I was like, wait, I want to try it. Mm-hmm. But then I don't want to, like, try it on somebody unless they're actually attacking me. But yes, that is the double bind.
Yes. Teresa, tell us what the double bind is.
Well, I think more commonly it has to do with women either, like, in politics or trying to the phrase where, oh, a woman can't have it all. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can't both be very successful in your job and also have a successful family and home life. So that is the double bind, where it's like, well, they could, but the system is messed up. And that's why they can't, because there aren't enough laws or different types of things that are allowing them to have the best of both worlds. For this instance, like what Caitlin said, it's like, oh, we're not only women, which is like, you don't want to be alone at night.
Mm-hmm.
But then with the recent rise in Asian hate crime, since we're also Asian now, then it's like an added sense of, oh.
No, it's okay.
Sorry. There's like an added sense of, what is the word? Like danger.
Yeah, danger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like going places alone anymore. And even, like, in going to places where there's people, I'm always thinking, oh, someone could just throw something at me and say something in passing. Even, like, throwing something from their car. Because I've seen, like, that happen from what I've read to some people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're not even safe anywhere, really, because they could just continually, anywhere, anytime, do something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Janelle?
Hot take. I don't really think about this a lot because my mom does. Not being Asian, though, just as being a woman, she definitely wants me to have more protection because I, like, don't carry the things that she brings me. Mm-hmm. She did buy me pepper spray and the little alarm, and she's like, do you carry that? And I'm like, no. And she's like, dang it, Janelle. She was like, what if one day you are taken? And then, and I was like, you know, it's really bad. I probably should be doing that more. But I also do want a little taser that looks like a phone, so you can be like, but then I don't think about being attacked by being Asian. I don't really know why. If it's like, because I feel safe in my neighborhood at home, or like, if it's like, they're only targeting, well, it's not like they're targeting specific Asians. They targeted the Filipino man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got, like, slashed
just
in the
anyone
face. But I, like, don't really think about that when I go places. Mm. I just kind of, like, go. It's never really in my mind that being, like, oh, there's a group of people and they might, like, mug me or, like, beat me up because I'm Asian or something. Mm-hmm. Or, like, they'll throw acid in my... I don't really think about that. And I should probably be more cautious. My mom's gonna yell at me after this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I don't. She'll be like, hi, Janiel. Now they're gonna come for you. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, no. No, Ma.
Well, also, we don't really go outside as much as we used mm-hmm. To go places. It's mm-hmm. just recently I've had to take the train a lot more than I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the CTA is very...
Yeah,
interesting.
Sometimes suspicious.
Like, uh-huh. I really like public transportation, and definitely it. I haven't been going on public transportation now. But like in the past years pre-Rona, I would like going on it, and I would go on it alone.
Me too.
But, yeah, just I guess then, with the added Asian hate crimes. It might be different, but, like, I really liked going on. I was like, is it safe? And I'd be like, nah, it's fine. I just wouldn't go on it, like, past 9 or 8 alone. Because that's when they're, like, people are a little bit, like, wee. At nighttime.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I like danger.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
I think, like, I don't know. Growing up in, like, because I'm from, like, a very small farm town. So when I came here, I was like, oh, I can just walk around by myself whenever.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, maybe not. I mean, I think, like, 2 weeks ago, there was, like, shots fired, like, 2 blocks away from here.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think anybody died mm-hmm. or anything, but... I don't know. I don't think you hear about that as much as where I'm from. But, mm-hmm. so that's, like, something that I've had to think about. But I feel like, especially at the beginning of Corona, I was, like, very wary of people. Like, I don't think this is true, but I felt like when I go into a place with people, they'd be, like, especially paying attention to me because I was Asian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that actually happened, though. But I think it was just me a little bit scared. Mm-hmm. That I was, like, on my guard and looking around, making mm-hmm. sure that nobody was going to eat me.
Yeah, I remember when they started, I would hide, because, well, I'm adopted, so I would hide behind my white family. They would be my security, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I was like, okay, if I go out with them, then I should technically be okay because I have them as my shield.
Mm-hmm. Like, even in your neighborhood too?
My neighborhood is definitely safe, like, but it's just like in my mind. Mm. In case something happened. Because we get visitors coming through our town. Because mm-hmm. our town connects to bigger towns.
Mm.
So we get a lot of people stopping in to grab snacks and things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I'm always just weary. And to be honest, you never know. Like, a place could be majority safe, but there's always, like, that couple people
mm-hmm.
that you mm-hmm. run into. And my hometown happened to be an area where the KKK had a base. Yeah.
Ah.
So I was like, I don't think we have those roots anymore in my town, but in case some of them are still closeted and hanging mm. around, I would like to not die today.
That's a good plan.
That mm-hmm. is scary.
Not yeah. that the KKK having a base, but you with your family. That's a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another thing I wanted to touch on was about, you know, all raising awareness for all of these movements, including the Asian hate crimes and BLM over the summer. We see that a lot of people gather support for uh-huh. like a short period of time, maybe a month or two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then they tend to drop off after a few months. We all saw that over the summer, and it's probably happening with this too. The news really isn't. They like dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because they're like, ah, you know, it's not happening anymore. we can't keep covering it. So I just wanted to discuss like how and why maintaining momentum for like a movement like this is difficult, and if you think there are ways people can try to maintain their momentum.
That's a big question, because it happens with a lot of movements. I feel like any big movement that happens, the support is there, because it's like that one big event that gathers everyone, and then slowly it just dwindles off.
It's like the different waves of feminism. We love bringing things from class.
I feel like it's because people, like, they forget about it. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, like forget, but it, like, gets moved back, you know? Like, in history class, after the, I think it's the Seven Years' War in, like, England versus France.
Yep.
Lots of people died, and then the two kings were, like, we're old and we're tired, so there was, like, 20 years of peace. But then those rulers died, and new rulers came, and then they didn't remember any of the terrible wars, so then they went back to war. I don't know. I think history's interesting sometimes, because it's like, oh, we learn history so we don't repeat our mistakes. But we always repeat our mistakes, despite learning history. So... Very true. I don't know why that is. We just forget it?
I think, like, also, kind of similar to what you're saying, it's just that the attention span for people now is, like, too small.
Yeah.
It is small.
It's, like, and, what was I gonna say? A lot of things that came up this summer.
The goldfish parade.
Please! A lot of things that came up this summer was the difference between, like, actual... being an ally and an actual activist for things, and performative activism. And 90% of things that are going on with the, like, fast-pacedness of social media, it's like, you can do stuff because people are doing it. You can post stuff, you can share stuff, you can retweet. But then you can just keep doing stuff and, like, pretend it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
And this definitely, like, I do this sometimes, and I'm trying to, like, focus more on, engaging myself with activism, because, like, you can, I do that a lot. It's like, I just, like, share something that someone shared, and it's like, yeah, I'm making a statement. But no, Janelle, you didn't really make a statement. You just shared something someone else did, but no follow-up action. So yeah, I'm calling myself out, but it's important, because yeah, that's how people don't continue their support, because they think doing one thing performatively is enough. Yeah,
I think there are some pros to that, though, where it's, like, because you at least are at least getting it to a wider audience. So in that sense, you are doing something. If nothing, like, if no physical action is done, at least you're kind of, like, spreading that kind of awareness. But then, yeah, I guess it is important to follow up with, like, an actual action. But I feel like that's better than... I don't know, I feel like I've seen a lot of examples of people that I know where it's, like, they'll post something about, like, either, like, Corona or something about, like, BLM, or, like, the Asian American hate crimes, but then they, like, their actions say the exact opposite about that. Where it's, like, on Instagram, it's, like, oh, this is, like, terrible, like, we need to stop this, or, guys, stop, like, calling these people out, or, you know, stay safe, stay at home, but then they're out, like, going to bars, going to parties, and it's like, there's some sort of disconnect there, guys. I don't know.
There's a disconnect.
I don't get it. Like,
so then, yeah, basically what they're saying, it's like, it just invalidates it, and then they're like, do you really care?
Yeah, because then it just, like, it, yeah, like, Saying things doesn't really mean anything at that point, I guess. Yeah. It's like, hello, like, your brain and your, like, rest of you not talking to each other? I don't know.
The neurons got cut somewhere.
Wait, but then wouldn't you just be dead?
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe so that's our metaphor. Our metaphor is that if what you put out in the world is... like, if what you say on certain platforms isn't what you're doing, then you might as well just not be alive. That's really mean. I'm sorry. That's, like, extreme. But, like,
it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
It happened.
It's a metaphor.
There are a bunch of Chinese metaphors I don't understand.
That's true, actually. Oh, yeah.
Thoughts, Caitlin?
Oh, I was thinking that the media plays a big role into how long things are advocated for, because with so much going on in the world, and if they like to drop things at a certain point, so like there'll be a lot of like hype and support behind a movement, and then like it'll start dwindling down, so the news is like, okay, this doesn't matter anymore, and as the news shifts its focus, so do we, so it's not there anymore to remind us, because it's still happening, but the news will move somewhere else. Kind of like how, you know, Brazil's still on fire. The Amazon rainforest still going down. But do I see that in the news constantly? No.
That's true. Like, this is on a smaller scale. But California's also on fire.
Yeah,
not currently. Yeah. But in the summer months, she'd be on fire a lot. not in a good way.
She'd be toasty.
Yeah. And even though I'm from California, when I'm here at school, I'll forget that that's happening until, like, one of my friends says something about it, or one of my friends says something about it, and then I'll remember again. I'll be like, oh, how did I forget something so important like this? Yeah.
Also, I think the media likes to pick and choose on what it picks up, because a lot of Asian hate crimes were happening over the summer. Like, I read a bunch of them, and nothing, like, none of the news outlets, like, picked up on them or, like, said anything about them. I found them all through Asian-geared Instagram posts where they're like, oh, like, they're more like community. They're like, guys, like, someone just attacked this elder. Like, this is getting kind of scary. And, like, it makes sense because BLM was, like, the big thing over the summer. But they like to wait until, like, something they think is newsworthy to happen to actually talk about it and bring it to people's attention.
Like, they need it needs to be multiple
people, needs to be
which is really unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It needs to be traumatic enough and have enough backing that they're like, yeah, we can write a story about this.
Wasn't that, like, that was kind of the thing with BLM, too, wasn't it? Where it was, like the George Floyd... the entire situation, it was, like, huge in the media, but then people were also saying, like, this isn't just, like, a one-time
thing. Yeah, it's not a one-time
thing.
This
has been happening, like, way, like, for such a long time, but just nobody ever talked about it. Doesn't that have to do with, like, our, you know, sociology, when we're talking about, like, the big media corporations?
Yes, the big media corporations.
Where, like, one big company owns all of the media corporations, or at least a large number of them. So then, whatever they choose, that's what all of them put out. So none of them are, like, you know, doing, like, the big research on, like, smaller topics. They're all just doing the same thing, because that's going to give them the most, whatever's most popular
at
the moment.
Yeah, the most clicks, the most views.
Yeah. Because they want the money. Sorry, I just hit the table back.
Yeah, and then our professor was saying it used to never be like that. They'd actually have case studies where they'd follow through with people for like a month or two and do like in-depth stories.
Yeah. But now they
now it's just fast, like blah, 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 blah.
And I think they're saying that like some of the news media places, they do still have that, but it's only because they have, like, the money for it.
Yeah, they have the money.
Yeah.
Because doing those long case studies are expensive, but I feel like they get the most meaningful stories, but they aren't promoted as much.
Yeah, because they're, like, on smaller platforms.
Or, like, I guess, like, because major media doesn't cover it then either.
So how do you think, if you have any thoughts about, like, ways to maintain momentum, because like these are things that we still need to keep talking about, even if Asian hate crimes aren't continuing at an all-time high, which is very good, we still need to bring awareness about that, as well as other like social movements. How do you think people can maintain momentum without the momentum?
The thing is, it's really hard because of how things are now. Momentum is really important to movements.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gasping. Yeah, I'm like, hmm.
It's like all the things I'm thinking of are just very small scale. Mm-hmm. Which is, I guess, what people maybe need then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, small scale is important.
Because, I mean, obviously the major problem is, like, you need a big fix for that. But I don't know what the big fix for that is.
I don't think anyone knows what the big fix is.
True. If I like, did, what? I'd probably be very successful. Uh-huh. But I'm not. Not yet.
Jesus is like, I will go to politics.
I'm sorry. I'm manifesting my success later in life. No. But I don't know. I guess it's just like, Do some real, like, self-introspection.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Introspection?
Reflection?
Yeah, self-reflection. Like, if you realize that what you're doing on social media, what you're saying, isn't applying to what you're doing, call yourself out, man. Like,
It's important.
Yeah, like, recognize that. It's okay if you realize you're doing that. I'm pretty sure lots of people are doing it. I'm probably doing it, and I haven't really realized it yet. Or maybe I am realizing it now. But, like, recognize that and then do something about it. But I guess I don't really know what you could do to do something about that.
No. Mm-hmm. I like staying informed as much as I can. Mm-hmm, so I'll follow... True. Big sites where they put a lot of information or like news articles that they've published and made themselves, so you know it's like a good resource. And I like looking at those from time to time, so I'm not completely disconnected or not forgetting about what's going on with the world.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, over the summer when all the riots were happening and stuff, and there was that huge debate about whether riots were actually helpful or not.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin and I emailed our political science professor. She was our honors professor, but she's political science.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked her for like what was it called? Like actual research papers and people that have done research on riots and stuff for actual like backable data and facts on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like maybe stuff like that, like if you're putting stuff out there, maybe actually do some deeper hardcore research into it, I guess.
I like what you said, Caitlin, like just following people and keeping up with them, like making your, I don't know, a lot of things that were said over the summer was like, if the people on your social media aren't like contributing to you know, what you want as like an activist and ally, then be like, don't follow them anymore and like start following people. But that's up to you, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I did start like trying to follow people that would help me see more things and guide me to more resources. Even just incorporating it in your social media more purposefully is a good way to do it. Definitely researching ways you can provide money if you're able to. Definitely, like, yeah, research the sites that like will actually give back to the people that need it, because that's obviously helping the cause that you are trying to support and advocate for, and it's helping those people.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Especially within a capitalist economy such as ours.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Yes. Somebody said this recently, I think it was in lectures, like put your money where
your mouth.
Yeah,
where your mouth is.
So yeah. It's like, if this is what you're saying, maybe donate to that. That was a big thing over the summer, wasn't it? It was like, oh, you can donate to like these organizations.
Yeah.
And then I think a little more recently, or like later in the summer, it was people would put out a bunch of like examples of smaller like black-owned businesses or something could buy from.
I like those.
Yeah.
Me too.
So like stuff like that, you could do that. Look into like smaller Asian stores too. Restaurants, you know?
Yeah.
Like our favorite pho place.
Did you happen to see if they were
Okay. Oh, shoot. I forgot to look.
Darn. Okay, side note. Sorry, guys.
We're going to see if they're okay.
Yeah, we will see if they're okay.
Yeah, but it. I definitely think that's... an mm-hmm. Even if you can't support with money, just making your... Because money is an issue for people, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The good petitions that come up, those are good. It's not, like, the best way. Oh, my honors professor also was like, if you want change... write to your state representatives. Yes. They are the people that are, like, this getting into the things that I'm not very knowledgeable about, but, like...
It's okay. We also took the same class, so maybe we can add.
It's, like, these people are the ones that, like, will be making direct change, either, like, your local community or your state. Mm-hmm, so tell them things that you're passionate about. So, like, reaching out to them... they'll know that this is what people want. Mm-hmm. Like, signing a petition is good, too, but it's not going to get directly to them because your name will be a bunch of within a bunch of names, but you writing a handwritten letter in the 21st century will be like, wow, they are very passionate about this, and also they probably will vote for things like this. So that way they know what their representatives want, and hopefully they will also put that, like, on their platform. So
because the whole point of having an elected officials is so that they can do what the general population would like them to do.
So if we don't let them know that these things are happening and that we care about them, they don't know either.
Exactly.
They won't care.
This reminds you remember that movie that she had us watch about the
Ironjawed Angels misrepresentation?
What's the one where at the end the Congress guy
Ironjawed Angels?
Yeah, he was they were voting women's suffrage, right?
Women's suffrage.
And then so at the end they all have these like different colored roses based on whether they're gonna vote for women's suffrage or against it. And this one guy was not going to vote for it, but then he got a handwritten letter from his mother, and then he voted yes.
Oh, mom.
So,
Well, I also like Teresa's like self-reflection, because I remember seeing something about how even the way we talk sometimes is very dismissive, or can be like hinting at dismissive towards someone who's trying to explain their oppression or like their feelings they're going through. And I think it's nice like to step back and be like, oh, like maybe this is how I kind of interact, so maybe try and change the way you approach things or listen to things or how you speak to.
I am definitely guilty of that. Where it's like, oh, I have this idea, therefore it is right, and then if somebody else has a different opinion, then I'm like, no, that's not right. Even if it is right. Mm-hmm. So then I'll be like, oh, maybe I should take a step back and listen to what they have to say.
And then just in general, everyone's road on activism is all different. So make sure you don't get too sucked into, like, researching about stuff, because sometimes it makes you sad and overwhelmed that you're trying to fix the world. So take breaks well.
Breaks are very important.
But we're glad that everyone will want to research and do stuff like that, but just take breaks, because saving the world is very stressful.
Especially now, because we're still technically stuck inside. Some people not so much, but
we are
definitely staying inside as much as we can.
Although CDC did say that
CDC,
if you are fully vaccinated, you can now meet in small groups unmasked,
and I'm still going to be wearing my mask.
I'll still be wearing a mask. Well, I tried to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm the only one here.
Yes, because I'm eligible, but there are no available vaccines. Sad.
Yeah, it's really hard getting, because they're taking care of the elderly first, and then the frontline workers, and then eventually it'll trickle down.
I think it is just, hopefully. This is totally a side note, but, like, I think it's just our healthcare system has issues.
Yeah, that's another issue. That's a capitalism.
That's a whole other thing, though.
Oh my.
A whole other systemic problem.
Nice. I mean, yeah, intersectionality, that's another thing that ties everything in. Yes. We love intersectionality.
Love it. Just define it for us.
I think Janelle should. She wrote an entire paper on it. Oh, that's true.
She did. She did take the course most recently.
Yeah. Intersectionality refers to all the different identities within a person,
mm-hmm.
and one cannot fully understand the oppressions or privileges of a person without understanding all of their identities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And our professor yes. would be so,
she would be that so proud
like
of
That was
like
a very textbook, perfect yes. explanation.
Yeah.
I so loved
much.
It.
So someone would be like race, class, political identity, religion.
Gender.
Gender. Just mush them all together. Mm-hmm. There you go. Intersectionality.
Mm-hmm. We simplified this a lot, but it's okay.
That's a basic mm-hmm. general understanding mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind with all mm-hmm. of your activism.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, this is really random, what do you think will happen once everyone gets vaccinated? Do you think the hate crimes are going to continue? Or will everyone cool down once we're all vaccinated? And they're like, it's fine. But I think they'll still be mean to, like, Asian tourists.
That is hard to say. Because the one example I'm pulling from is 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm.
It's died down, but do people still have
yes.
stereotypes?
That's
yeah, they definitely
yes.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that'll just add to the forever foreign feeling that Asians will always have, no matter what. Thanks, media.
What is forever foreign?
Forever foreign is this idea that we don't belong here, no matter how hard we try.
Yeah.
I am an American.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yes, we live mm-hmm. in the United States, but
oh, yeah.
you're
like
not
having to
really
prove
here.
Here, yeah. here, yeah.
You don't really belong
so, like,
here.
So, small little things like, oh, like, your English is really good. Or, what's another thing?
Oh, it's like, where are you from?
Yeah, where are you from?
And I'm like, California.
Yeah, California,
and like,
yeah.
No, wait, where are you really from?
Yeah.
I'm like,
like,
this was fun in elementary school, but not but, now.
Yeah, not now. We are in college now.
This was fun
me.
When I was, like, 7.
Yeah.
Or they're like, oh, can you say something in your native language for me? And I was like, hi.
English?
English?
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
I was about to be like, bonjour!
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then I think we will have a couple of the, what is it called?
Sources?
Like, yeah,
sources.
The sources and links that we found some of our information from linked in our little description and notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this wraps up our episode for today. As Teresa said, we will have links mm-hmm. in our episode description, as well as a place that has a lot of information mm-hmm. about the Asian hate crimes, and I believe you can donate to them
yes,
as
you
well.
Can.
Mm-hmm. So
what's the name of the place?
It is called StopAAPIHate.org.
Okay, that's the really big one. They're
oh,
based
yes.
in California, I believe.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. So you can follow us on Instagram at potstickersandpunsit to stay up to date and get sneak peeks of our next episodes. And in the link in our bio, there's a Google form where you can submit questions and we will answer them in future episodes. New episodes come out every Friday. And if you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye.